We're speaking with Casey Camp Hornick, matriarch and environmental ambassador of the Ponca tribe in Oklahoma. Casey, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that your mode of environmental advocacy changed in the 1980s. Could you talk more about what you meant by that?
Yeah, I suppose awareness grew. When one becomes inured to the business of fossil fuels, as we all have been, by watching the commercials, by driving our cars, by flying, by whatever means, by how they tricked us into thinking this was okay and a norm, we of the Ponca Nation had such a survival story, being part of the forest removal where one in three die, being impacted by smallpox blankets being given, quote, unquote, to us in the first form of that kind of warfare way back in the 1700s. Our tribe's been reduced to 200 before. We grow back, and then something else happens at the federal government, who, by the way, made five treaties with us and also has broken every one of those. And that deals with our health, that deals with our well-being. And so when we got into the 60s and 70s and began to assert civil rights in the forms of what is now called activism, and to begin to reclaim our language, which was stripped from us, our culture, which was stripped from us, our economic development. We also noticed in this, again, 60s and 70s, many things were going on. And then we get to the 1980s, and we noticed that the Department of Energy, through the federal government, of course, is targeting Native nations all across the United States and saying, look, we'll help you develop economically. All you have to do is take this nuclear waste. Won't hurt you a bit. You just bury it in the ground over there. It's okay. You ignore it. You get some money for that. Oh, look, we've got this wonderful plant called Waste Tech that's going to bring hazardous waste from Chicago and Philadelphia and various other places, and you can put it far away from where your tribal headquarters is, not going to bother you a bit, perfectly safe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So our civil rights attention was then turned towards, oh my goodness, here's another genocidal process that they're trying to shove money at us. And knowing that we live with like 60 to 80% unemployment, it looks good. It looks like something that can help us. So we have to educate ourselves and our people about what does this mean in reality and see exactly where the pitfalls are and see the long-term results, because we're taught to look down the road seven generations to prepare for them. So here we are. So then the attention is shifted to that. Then the awareness hits us. Oh my goodness. No wonder we have cancers in every family. No wonder our asthma rates are through the roof. No wonder we have autoimmune diseases. It's ConocoPhillips. It is Continental Carbon Black. It is the coal-fired generating plant. It is the landfill that's seeping. Now it's fracking. Now it's injection wells. Now it's pipelines leaking. So that's what brought me here today.
A minute ago, you mentioned that humans are facing an existential crisis that many creatures are included in, are hanging by a thread. Those weren't your words, but paraphrasing. How can we look ahead seven generations now to prevent that from happening?
First, everyone should understand that there is no choice. Either we get in line and align human law with natural law, or we will go the way of all of the species that we have caused the extinction of. Humans are not separate, above, below anything that is part of the great mysteries creation. We were set in place in a manner that would allow us to be part of a system of life that was interdependent with all that is. That, you know, if one sat home and during this COVID crisis, which again, humans can take credit for because of our, well, we don't need to keep going that way. But if we look outside our windows and we watch the birds are still behaving in the manner in which the Creator put them here to the extent that they're capable. I could look out my windows and see other animals. And I live in the country and I have that honor. So everything is living in the manner it was intended to, except humans. And for that reason, because we have things so out of balance, our very future is in danger as a species. What can we do? We can realign ourselves. We can, you know, they're talking about rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement and acting as if that's going to be the panacea. But in reality, there is so much more that has to be done than that. We have to recognize the catchphrases that are happening out there. Carbon trading, for instance, commodification of the air, the water, the earth, the plants that are being, I'm talking about the corn and others that are being bioengineered. Those kind of things have to be addressed immediately. We can't continue to think that it's okay for us to rearrange life around our own comfort zone and for life to accommodate that unless we take care of it. There has to be spaces for the four legs to run and feed and breathe and drink. There has to be spaces for the winged ones, the finned ones, those that live under the ground. There has to be a stop to the commodification of the very sacred water herself and the plastics that are created to put her in. There has to be a stop to the commodification of the air. That's what carbon trading is. There has to be a stop to the commodification of the very seeds that feed us. Yeah. It's up to us to educate ourselves and to do what is necessary to make that happen immediately.